fun in Powerhouse. And here is the introduction for today's message. Lace up your shoes. We have a bit of ground to cover, but it's good ground to cover. And I want to ask the Lord to help me now, because I got to tell you, this is a lot to put into a small place. And here's what I want more than anything else, and what I'm going to ask God for, and that is that God would speak to you with clarity in spite of the messenger. Father God, I do pray that's exactly what will happen, Lord, that you would speak, that I would just kind of be out of the way, and you would speak. And Lord, that your message today would be clear. Let your Holy Spirit begin to illuminate, to shine a light, and to bring understanding, so that we can apply this word to our lives, begin to live in it, and let it live through us, so that we can make a difference in this world, make a difference in our community, make a difference in our family, make a difference at our school, make a difference where we work. Lord, we want to make a difference because you've made a difference in us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, we began, some of you know, we began a series last week in the book of Colossians. We had it here at the Lord's table, and we looked at that beautiful hymn of praise that Paul has in Colossians chapter 1. And so if you weren't here for that, you can go back and check it out online if you'd like. But this is a powerful, powerful letter. And this letter, of course, was written by Paul while he was in prison. Very likely in Rome. There are a few scholars think it may have been Ephesus, but very, very likely Paul wrote this letter in prison in Rome. And if you'll remember at the very end, he says, I write this to you in chains. I write this letter to you in chains. And I begin to think about that phrase during the week, and it dawned on me that many powerful, impactful letters, many powerful, impactful works of literature were written from prison. And so I began to look, and there are literally hundreds of impactful letters and works of literature that have been written while people were in prison. I can't list them all, but let me just throw a few out there for you to hear it. First of all, John Bunyan wrote The Pilgrim's Progress while in prison, one of the most influential Christian books of the ages. Miguel de Cervantes wrote Don Quixote while in prison, and some of you were forced to read that in school. Sir Walter Raleigh, for whom Raleigh, North Carolina, was named after, he wrote The History of the World while imprisoned in the Tower of London. One of the more dark works to come out of prison was written by Adolf Hitler, who basically wrote his plan, Mein Kampf, from a Bavarian prison before his ascendancy into power and all the destruction that came along with that. Here in the United States, a very powerful letter was written by a man that all of you know, Martin Luther King Jr., who wrote a letter from the Birmingham jail. And if you haven't read that, you ought to read it. It is very, very impactful letter, and did much to solidify and advance the cause of the civil rights movement in the United States. But as I was reading through that letter, a portion of it caught my attention. Its power and its poignancy caught my attention. And I want to share that with you. We're going to put it up here on the screen. The words may be too small for you to read because there's a lot of it. But here's just a few sentences from that letter. He said, never before have I written so long a letter. I'm afraid it is much too long to take your precious time. I can assure you that it would have been much shorter if I had been writing from a comfortable desk. But what else can one do when he is alone in a narrow jail cell other than write long letters, think long thoughts, and pray long prayers? And as I read that, I said, you know what? All these works, he captures the heart of what it is to be confined and yet to have a message that needs to go beyond the bars. What else can I do but think long thoughts, write long letters, and pray long prayers? The Apostle Paul could have written that. Here he is confined, very likely chained to a Roman soldier. That's pretty much the way it would have been. It would not have been, as we often think, of these separate jail cells, but he would have been confined, perhaps in a home somewhere, home confinement. Perhaps it was in a communal building, but he was chained to a Roman soldier. There were limitations to what the Apostle Paul could do. He couldn't go out into the streets and preach. He couldn't go out and encourage believers. He couldn't go out and start churches. He was chained. He was shackled. He was bound up. There was not much he could do. And when you and I, when we have limitations in life, what is our response? Woe is me. I'm so limited. There's so little I can do. I'm shackled to this problem, or I'm shackled to this relationship, or I'm chained to this, or I'm bound by that. And we just go, we moan and we groan and we say, woe is me. There's nothing I can do. There's no impact I can make. There's no way I can advance anything. It's just awful. But Paul, listen, Paul saw his limitations. He didn't ignore them. He leveraged them. I want to share with you something he writes, not to the Colossians, but to the church in Philippi, also in prison. And this is what he writes. This is cool. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now think about this. We think of the limitations of prison. Paul could have been bound up by the limitations of prison, but instead Paul says, hey, listen, I'm here for a reason. I'm in this place and this season of my life for a purpose. And yes, there are limitations, and I acknowledge there are limitations, but God can use this for His glory and for the advancement of the kingdom. So you're chained to a Roman guard. Think about this. When you're chained to a Roman guard, you're thinking, my goodness, look at my limits. I can only go this far. I can't go to the bathroom by myself. I'm constantly in this person's presence. How awful this thing must be. And yet Paul looked at it and said, God sent me somebody to witness to, and he can't get away. He's chained to me. Paul saw it completely different, completely backwards from the way we see things. He said, listen, the gospel is advancing through the imperial guard. The gospel is infecting, so to speak, infecting and spreading through the emperor's own soldiers. And do you know how the gospel was carried to the ends of the Roman Empire? It was carried by Roman soldiers who came to believe in Christ, and then they were shipped out away from their families. They could have looked at it and said, you know what? Woe is me. God has shipped me over here. I don't want to be here. He sent me over here to England, or he sent me over here into Germany, or he sent me to these places. I don't want to be here. I want to be home. My wife just had a baby. I want to be home with my wife and my baby. I want to be tending my fields. She's having to somehow manage back there, and here I am stationed way over here. Man, how awful this is. And yet, because they saw Paul leverage his position for the sake of Christ, they leveraged their position for the sake of Christ, and the gospel began to spread. What a different way to look at things. And if this is all you get out of this message today, it may be enough. I don't know where you are in life. Some of you feel like you're shackled, you're bound, you're chained up, you're walled in, and you're looking at your situation and you're going, there's just no way to redeem this. This is awful. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be with these people. I feel like I'm chained to them. Maybe God could change your heart and your mind and your perspective today to realize that they may be actually chained to you. You may have the opportunity to share the gospel and spread the gospel in that realm of influence that you have. Your limitations leverage those limitations for the cause of Christ. And Paul says to the Philippians, he goes, listen, he said, I'm in jail, and the gospel is spreading in jail. And that is making those who are outside even bolder. You would think, oh, if I'm outside, maybe I shouldn't spread the gospel because they may put me in jail like Paul. And then look at my plight. Paul's having revival in jail. Okay, if whether I'm in or out, I need to be bold for the gospel. And so that's where we are, and that's his situation. So let's lace it up and let's start looking here in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. We're going to try to go through verse 14 if there's any way possible, but we may not make it. So we'll get as far as we possibly can today. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to look starting with verse 3. And the first three verses of that say this: we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Now, one way Paul leveraged his imprisonment was to witness to the guards. But another way he leveraged his imprisonment was to pray. Because Paul, when he was out, he was always busy. He always had places to go and people to see and stuff to do. And yet now, there's nowhere to go. And sometimes he has visitors and sometimes he doesn't have visitors. And he's got this guy chained to him. And sometimes a guy will listen and sometimes a guy won't listen. So very much like Martin Luther King Jr., he had time to think long thoughts, write long letters, and pray long prayers. And what we see here is at least a portion of what Paul is praying for believers in Colossae, most of whom he doesn't know. He hasn't been there. The gospel is spread there without him personally going there. And so what we see here, at least in part, is a little bit of the prayer life of the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. Even prison can't stop prayer. In fact, there's nothing that can stop prayer except the prayerless Christian. We bemoan the fact that prayer was taken out of our schools. Prayer wasn't taken out of our schools. Yes, officially, the teacher can't get up and start the class by leading in prayer. Can't call on little Johnny, little Sam, to come up and lead the class in prayer. But I got to tell you this. Wherever there are believers in Jesus Christ, there is to be prayer. And not just prayer, oh God, help me pass this test, or from the teachers, God, help me get through this day. Those are indeed prayers, and those are prayed in schools. But there are teachers, and there are administrators, and there are students, and there are custodial staff who are, during the course of that day, praying. They are praying for other students, they're praying for other teachers, they're praying for other administrators, they're praying for other staff. They're praying for parents who are dropping their kids off at school. There are people who are praying. We are to be people who pray without ceasing. We're constantly to be in an attitude of prayer. We're constantly to be walking. When we walk with God, if I'm out on a walk, now it was kind of funny because Nancy and I went out and we took a walk yesterday. And Nancy was talking to me and I wasn't responding. She said, you're being awfully quiet. That's kind of unusual. When you're out and you're walking along with somebody, unless you've just lost your breath and the walk is just too strenuous, usually there's conversation that's going on. I'll see people who come walking by the house, and if they're together, they're usually talking, walking along and talking. Should that not be the same thing in our relationship with God? We're walking along through life with God, and there's conversation going on. And as we turn on the news and we see how the hurricane has this smaller hurricane, Nate, you know, he's really, his big sister was awful, but Nate doesn't seem quite so bad. And yet we look at that and we as believers, that should just prick at our hearts to say, you know what, I need to be praying for those people down on the coast, down on the Gulf Coast who are facing this. Or when we see the news reports from the Puerto Rico or the Virgin Islands, absolutely devastated by Irma when she came through. That should prick at our hearts to say, oh, God, let me stop and pray for those who are suffering. Pray for those who lost loved ones. Let me pray for believers to come around them. When we see the thing that happens in Las Vegas, yes, that should anger us. There's a righteous anger that should well up within us, but it also should be for us a call to prayer. To lift up those who are hurting, those who are confused, those who don't have answers, and to pray that God is going to raise up the Church of Jesus Christ to go in and to love and to share that there's hope even beyond this life. Listen, we have this great privilege that the door of God's throne room is always open. It's always open. And we're told that we can boldly, with confidence, approach the throne of grace. That it's there for us. Always. And so Paul said, I'm going to take this opportunity while I'm confined, while I'm restricted, while I'm chained. That Roman guard can't stop me from praying. The Roman emperor can't stop me from praying. The people that had me thrown into jail can't stop me from praying. The only thing that stops prayer is the prayerlessness of believers. That's it. And so let me encourage you, whatever your limitations, whatever your restrictions, however you feel like you're bound up, you are free to pray. And Paul prayed. And we know, because God's word reminds us, that the prayer of the righteous person, it accomplishes, it avails much. Very effective. In this prayer, Paul expresses his gratitude for the Colossians because they had a good reputation. He said, I've heard of you guys. Now, that would have been already a boost. Hey, Paul's heard of us. He's heard good stuff about us. And these are the three things that he'd heard, and we have it revealed right here. He says, I've heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, your love that you have that's for all of God's people, not just for your little group, but for all God's people. You love them all. And I've heard of the hope that you have, a secure hope that you have. Did you notice do those three words ring a bell with you? Faith, hope, and love are mentioned multiple times by the Apostle Paul. Various order. And faith, hope, and love, those three should be the hallmark of every single believer. When you meet someone and they know somebody that you know, wouldn't it be great? They go, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know you. I know you. I've heard about you. What have you heard? I've heard about your faith. You have an unshakable faith. Man, you believe, and everybody knows you believe, and it's not because you're arrogant or boastful about it. It's just Jesus just pours through you, just oozes out of you. I've heard of your faith. Oh, I've heard of your love. I heard how you love people. You know, Jesus said, listen, they'll know you're my disciples because of how you love one another. I've heard of your love. I've heard you're a loving person. And I've heard of the hope that you have. that no matter what's going on in life, no matter how bad things get, no matter how awful and twisted life becomes for you, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you're a person with an unshakable hope, and it comes through. Because in the midst of all that, I see the joy, I see the smile, I see the confidence. You have a hope that cannot be shaken. What a reputation to have. Man, that it could be said of Grace Fellowship. Oh, I've heard of you guys. I've heard of your faith. I've heard of your love. I've heard of your hope. Paul uses these in other times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." If you want to write that down, 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. And in 1 Corinthians 13, this is probably where we remember it most. And now these three remain. When it all comes down, when we get down to the end of things, hey, listen, these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So, real simple question for you this morning. When people think of you, is this what they think of you? Do they know you by your faith? Do they know you by your love? Do they know you by your hope? And what Paul tells us here is that faith and love, trust in God and love for God and other people, that they actually grow out of your hope. We've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of, that means the hope is actually producing the faith and the love. And where does the hope come from? The hope comes from the gospel. This hope that you have laid up for you in heaven. Now, I don't want us to lose this. I don't want us to miss this because this is important. Laid up for you in heaven, we think, okay, what that means is because I know that when this life is over, however long it is, I've got a home in heaven. And that gives me hope that's exactly what Paul's saying here. And I want to tell you that's not exactly what Paul's saying here. In fact, the word translated in heaven is actually plural. And it might be better translated in the heavens. Now, what does that mean? Whenever the Bible talks about the heavens, it's talking about a spiritual realm, an invisible spiritual realm. So, in other words, Paul, instead of just saying the hope in heaven, that looking forward to heaven, that gives you hope. What he may be saying here instead is this. There is an invisible spiritual realm around you. And God is in the midst of that, working in you. His resources, invisible as they are available to you, not just when you get to heaven. They're all around you even now. In other words, in the midst of what you're going through, in the midst of your difficulties, right now, you have heaven's resources at your disposal. Now, would that give you hope? That'll give you hope. To realize, man, I've got resources. I've got something that can come into my life now, not just when I get to heaven, but something that can come into my life right now and change everything. Alter the equation. Produce a different result. And that's why even in the midst of prison, Paul could have hope. He goes on, and this is I'm going to have to wrap it up with these last few verses, and we'll pick up the rest as we get to it. The rest of verse 5 and going through verse 8 say this: "Of this you've heard before the word, uh, before the Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world is bearing, as it is in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you. Since the day you heard it and understood it, the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Now, another part of Paul's praise, his great gratitude, was that the gospel was continuing to spread. And I want you to think about this. This is not that many years after Jesus has walked the face of the earth, okay? We're not talking about centuries. We're talking about just a few years. How did Christianity start? Jesus came, obviously, he was here, he lived, he gathered some disciples around him. And from a fringe group of Jewish men traipsing around the Sea of Galilee and the streets of Jerusalem, from a fringe group, what has Paul said? This gospel is now spreading throughout the whole world. This gospel is on the move. This thing started so small. Jesus said the kingdom of God like a mustard seed. It started so small, and yet there is no containing it. There is no limit to it. It is an unstoppable force. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, and it is the church of Jesus Christ that carries the message of the gospel. And this message is a simple message of a victorious Savior, but it is a message, a simple message that changes lives and changes eternities, so that Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because why? It is the gospel is the power of God for salvation of all who believe, starting first here with the Jews and then to the Gentiles. This thing is unstoppable. Jesus said, listen, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to start here in Jerusalem, but it's not going to stop here in Jerusalem. It's going to go from Jerusalem to Judea, from Judea to Samaria, from Samaria to the ends of the earth. And what we're told in Matthew chapter 24 is this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the nations. Then the end will come. God's got this plan. And it's not isolated to the Middle East, and it's not isolated to the United States. God has a worldwide plan of redemption and salvation, and it is continuing to advance. Now, the beauty of the gospel is that it is shared person to person. And I was so happy. I think we have 15 or so who are taking classes last few weeks. Got one more week in it in personal evangelism, how to share your faith, because this is how the gospel is shared. And I want you to see this, because Epaphras pops up here. Now, we're going to see Epaphras in a couple of places, but I want you to note Epaphras. Epaphras was actually his nickname. His full name was Epaphroditus. But if you had a name like Epaphroditus, you know, I just say, just call me Pappy. Okay, so you got Pappy here, all right? You got Pappy and you got Paul. Now, Paul and Pappy aren't the same people. Paul could go out, man, he'd preach. Woo, he's out in the streets, he's preaching, he's drawing a crowd, there are people coming to Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. Paul's having tent revival. Paul's doing it all, man. He is out there. Epaphroditus is not like that. Here's the deal. Epaphras, Pappy, he was very likely, and although it didn't say specifically, he was very likely won to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. And then, remember, Paul's never been to Colossae. Pappy took it to Colossae, took it back to his hometown. Now, maybe he was a preacher. Maybe he was out on the street corner. Maybe he was up on a stump. Maybe he was, you know, just having a tent revival. I don't know. But it's very likely that he shared the gospel just like we have the opportunity to share the gospel over a cup of coffee at McDonald's while we're sitting in the parking lot waiting to pick up kids after a ball game. When we have a chance encounter in one of the aisles at Ingles. As we're at work, and the person beside us is saying their life's falling all to pieces. Can you pray for them? You may never be an Apostle Paul. You probably won't. You may never be a Billy Graham. You probably won't. But you can be an Epaphras. You can be the man who believes in Jesus enough that you want to take it home with you. That you can't help from sharing it with your neighbors, your friends, with your coworkers, with your family. And it's not because you're boasting about, hey, I've got something you don't have, It is, as one wise person said, one poor beggar telling another poor beggar where to find food. It is because you, if you have come to know Christ, it is because you have been called by God's Spirit and embraced God's Son. God has done that by grace. You didn't earn that. You didn't achieve that. God gave it to you. We're saved by grace through faith, believing. And that's a gift from God so that we can't boast about it. We didn't earn it. And then God gives it to us. And He gives it to us in such abundance that we can give it away and never come up short on our own end. And that's what Epaphras did. Epaphras took this gospel and he gave it to Paul. And what we see in Epaphras, and what you'll see as we look in Colossians, is Epaphras became a fellow servant, a fellow minister with Paul. If you study the New Testament, if you study church history, and you go, hey, let me learn everything I can about this man named Epaphras. Here's what you're going to discover. Not much. You don't know who his mom and dad were. You don't know who his kids were. You don't know who his wife was. You don't know what kind of job he had. You don't know anything about his life. This is all you know. He loved Jesus. And he shared Jesus. And folks, if people can know that about you, I don't know, the rest of it makes much difference. But you know him, and you share him. And here's what I want to ask this morning. Do you know him? If you don't have it, you can't give it away. If you aren't in Christ, then you're going to have a hard time. I mean, seriously, are you going to go and ask somebody who doesn't know how to swim to teach you to swim? No. Would you buy hair growth tonic from me? Not if you're smart. If you don't have Jesus, you can't give him away. So the place we need to start this morning is I need to ask you, do you have Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Are you in Jesus? Have you discovered what we're going to be teaching for the next few weeks, that Jesus is enough? He really is all you need. If not, how can you know that? The Bible says that we're all sinners, every one of us. None of us escapes that. We all have sin, and we probably acknowledge that if we're honest with ourselves. But the problem with sin is that sin separates us from God, creates this gulf between us and God. And no matter how fast we can run and no matter how high we can jump, we can't get over that ourselves. We can't build a bridge from here to God. And that's what religions really teach all the time, is how I get to God. But that's not the story of Christianity. The story of Christianity is this, that God so loved the world that he sent his son. That gulf that we couldn't cross, God crossed it. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross, paying the price for our sins. So that if we would trust in him, believe in him, turn from our sins and trust in Jesus, that we would have life abundant and life eternal in Christ. If you've never accepted that, then I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to leave this place without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. It can happen today. Your eternity can be changed today. Your life can be changed today. Don't leave this place for that. If you've already accepted Christ, but you've never considered sharing that with other people, let me just encourage you, be an Epaphras. Find somebody. Invite them to coffee. Invite them, you know, to tea, whatever it is that y'all can sit around the table and drink or sit across on a bench and drink. Whatever it is that you can do just to connect with people. Consider sharing Jesus with somebody else and giving them what you have. Can you imagine going to, you know, people have different ideas about the rapture, but I mean, you're there with your friend and here you are, you're taking off like a rocket. You're going on up to meet Jesus. And your friend says, hey, where are you going? Well, they probably said a little more excitedly than that. After all, you are rising up. Where are you going? Whoa, I'm going to meet Jesus. He's calling me up in the air right now and I'm going to meet him. Oh, really? How do I do that? Oh, I wish I'd have told you. See ya. Bye. Come on now. You've got people you love. And if you love them, truly love them, do you want to see them have an eternity apart from Jesus? To spend an eternity in darkness and fire. Consider sharing Jesus. Some of you need a church home, a place to belong. If God's calling you to Grace Fellowship, then I want to encourage you to come, be part of us. Grow with us. Some of you simply need to come and pray. This is the time for that as well. To just come and lay down whatever it is that you have before the Lord and ask him to carry the burden for you. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that you do continue to speak. And I pray, Lord, that we've heard you clearly and distinctly today through these few verses in Colossians. Lord, we thank you for faithful people who shared Christ with others because, Lord, we're here today because they did that. Lord, may there be people in churches all around this country, maybe all around the world, who are there to worship Jesus because we at some point in our lives were bold enough to share him with someone who shared them with someone who shared him with someone who shared him with someone else. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to earn our salvation. We simply have to receive it by faith. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with that decision right now, God, that you would call them to turn from their sin and turn to you and find that Jesus is enough. Lord, I pray for those who've been burdened to share their faith but have never done so, Lord, that somehow this week you will put the burden so heavy upon their hearts and the love that they have for you and for that person so heavy in their hearts that they couldn't help but share the reason for the hope that they have within themselves. Lord, if there are those who need a place to belong, if this is it, Lord, you're calling them, let them come be part of us. And Lord, if you just need to do some personal business with people this morning, whatever it is, Lord, you're calling us to do, we want to surrender right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we sing this final song this morning? If the Lord's laid a decision on your heart, this is your time to share it.
rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray. Come and fill strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it loud. Power to say but your name. Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to say. But your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name, shelter like no other. Your name, let the nation sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to say but your name. Your name, Jesus. Your God with us,
if you'll give me just a couple of minutes. I'm going to ask Sean and Tona to come. Skylar, you come on down here. Rafe, come on up from the booth. Guys, if y'all sit down for just a second, because you're not going to miss this, because you get to do something now as a church family. Just set it and forget it. It'll be fine. The camera will be all right. Let me tell you why I'm asking them. The old lady in the back. Will the old lady in the back come? Miss Joyce, if you'd come on down. I didn't call you that, but I did put it on microphone. So, anyway, here's the reason I'm calling them up. We typically, you know, we have mission team. We have groups go to Ware's Valley, and we've got some folks from Ware's Valley here with us this morning. Thank you for being here. We have groups go to Dominican Republic. We have groups that go other places. Well, this is a group that's going to Las Vegas. Actually, Rafe, who is in the top 10 in his division in racing, Rafe's going to have the opportunity to run a race at Las Vegas. And this could be a huge thing career-wise for him, and certainly a lot of experience for him. And his family's there because they're like the race team. So they should all be in, you know, the fire-retardant suits right now standing up here. But they're the team. But here's the thing. We talked about leveraging wherever you are for Christ. And that's really what this family wants to do. They're racing, and that's fun and exciting and full of adventure. But they're going to Las Vegas not just to race. They're going to Las Vegas to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And they need your prayers. So they're leaving this week. The race is Saturday, right? But y'all are leaving Wednesday to head that direction. And so they covet your prayers because they want us, and this is what Sean told me, they want us literally to send them out and to commission them as they go out to be missionaries in Las Vegas. And listen, if Las Vegas was ever in a place to hear the message of the gospel, it's now. And so we're gonna pray for them that God will shine His light. So if you would just kind of extend your hands forward to them, we wanna pray for this family. Lord God, we come in Jesus' name and we pray for this family. We ask, Lord God, that we certainly want you to keep Rafe safe. Mm-hmm. We'd love for it if he won, but we're not even gonna ask for that right now, God. What we're gonna ask is that you would let this family shine the light and the love of Jesus Christ with everyone that they meet, that they would be known for their faith, for their love, and for their hope, and that all three of those would just shine through them. Lord, win or lose, whether we're on the top of the mountain or the mountain's on top of us, God, we want to give you glory with our lives, and we want to leverage wherever we are for Jesus Christ and for the gospel. And so, Lord, we pray for them. We ask your protection on them. We ask your guidance on them. But more than anything else, Lord, we ask that you would live through them and shine through them for your glory and for your kingdom in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, guys, I'm going to let them stay up here. If you want to speak to them before you leave this morning, feel free to come on up and speak and give them some words of encouragement as they go. We love you guys. We look forward to hearing good things. It's exciting. Yeah. Huh? It will be online. So if you're the Facebook thingy, if you're friends with Tona, you can get on there, and she tries to do those things live.
Yeah, it'll be on Rafe.
Rafe, if you're on Facebook, Rafe Slate Solid Rock Racing, you can sign up for that, and that's where it'll be posted, so you can go and kind of follow things. I'm sure they'll be posting all along during the week as well. So we're excited for you guys. So if y'all just hang here, don't worry about the camera. It'll be fine. Y'all just hang here, and they'll give you an opportunity if you want to come speak to them before you leave. Father God, thanks so much for meeting us here and for speaking to us. And now, Lord, let us go and live out what you've put into us for your glory and for your kingdom. For we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Jesus, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here.
show off, you know, with a flipping of his head.